He lives within my heart.
That's where faith is. That's where faith resides. That's where belief is. And that's what Jesus wants from us. To believe that God raised him from the dead. What a joy it is today to celebrate Easter together. I hope that this has been a special week for you. Last Sunday morning, for those of you that were here, you know that I challenge you to make this a holy week of reading everything that happened to Jesus from the triumphal entry into the end of the four Gospels that tell the story of the last week of Jesus' life. For some of you that were able to do that, I hope that it has been a holy week to understand the heart of God, culminating in the celebration of the resurrection. Today we celebrate the power of the empty tomb. As life came back into Jesus, can you just imagine what it was like in that moment? I don't know if you'd call it a moment. I don't know if you'd call it an instant. I don't know what you would call it, but however it happened, can you just imagine what happened inside that tomb? Inside that dark tomb, the stone was closed. There was darkness. I don't know, maybe damp, maybe cold, maybe hot. I don't know, but suddenly the power of God came into the body of Jesus. How that happens, I have no idea, but if God can create life out of nothing and God create a beautiful baby, I know that God can somehow take the dust and the bones and the blood vessels and things that are partially decayed, and God can restore them too. And somehow life came into that empty tomb and Jesus arose from the dead. And today we remember and we celebrate. I mean, there was an earthquake, there was a sudden bright, radiant light, and all of a sudden, Jesus came to life. The greatest miracle that's ever happened in the history of the world took place in the tomb on the first Easter morning. There is the power of the cross. There is the power of the empty tomb. And this morning, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the power of your faith. How important your faith is. The power of believing. You know, all throughout the Bible, especially the words of Jesus, we have the word believe and faith. And really throughout the Bible, faith is such an important part of who you are. God wants you to be a person of believing, a person of faith. I want you to think about for a moment or two this morning how quickly Christianity spread in the first century. If you've studied that part of history, either from a Christian perspective or just a world history perspective, when you study how quickly Christianity spread, you have to be aware of something that was at work in the history of mankind at that time that had to be amazing and incredible. You think about Christianity began from a small group of people. It began from one man, Jesus, and his group of disciples. And we think of the 12 disciples, and there were others too. There were many other disciples he had. Some men and some women, but somehow from that small group, Christianity spread around the Roman world in 20 or 30 or 40 years. When you think of the spread of Christianity, you have to realize that there was something amazing and powerful going on. I mean, here were these 12 disciples or apostles, and as I said, there were others too, but just think about who they were. Most of them were fishermen. Probably none of these disciples or these apostles were what you would call learned men. They weren't schooled. They weren't particularly trained in much of anything other than the blue-collar trade that they did, most of them being fishermen. They were incredibly ordinary men. They were men that had strengths and weaknesses. They were Jewish men. Most of them came from the area around the Sea of Galilee. They weren't particularly incredible on their own, but they had been with Jesus. And because they had spent time with Jesus and they had beheld him for 3 years, there were things going on in them that made them such powerful witnesses. When you think about that, day after day, for 3 years, they watched Jesus, they walked with Jesus, they listened to Jesus, they learned from Jesus, they questioned Jesus, and Jesus all that time was teaching them as he touched people, as he loved people, as he worked miracles. Everything Jesus did, it seems like he kind of did it for the benefit of his disciples to understand the heart of God. Imagine those disciples seeing one miracle after another and hearing Jesus' words, incredible insight. This week, one of the things that have really kind of impressed me in this looking at the last 7 days of Jesus' life is everything Jesus says has incredible influence on the people that hear it. They're amazed at his words. His disciples are, the crowds are, the Pharisees are, the soldiers are, everybody, Pilate, everybody that Jesus talks to, they're amazed at his words. These disciples spent 3 years with him trying to figure out, who is this incredible man? Who is this incredible rabbi, this amazing teacher, this great plan? And for 3 years, they watched his miracles, and time after time, they saw his power. They saw him heal the sick and raise the lame and give eyesight to the blind. And then he told people that, hey, your son's going to live, and he's gonna be okay, and your daughter, I mean, they heard and saw things from this rabbi Jesus that they had never heard or seen before. Here they are, these fishermen, these common, average, everyday people, but they had been with Jesus. And boy, that made a difference. Imagine what they saw in Jesus. They saw his power over and over again, and the healing of the sick, and the casting out of spirits. And there they are on the Sea of Galilee, and they think it's a ghost that's coming across the water in the middle of the night in the storm, and he calms the storm. I mean, what kind of man could he be? And then there's the story of Lazarus, the amazing story of how Jesus and his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he knew that he was sick, but he didn't go. And then he came after he was dead 4 days, and imagine what they were thinking there in the town of Bethany as they are listening to Jesus talk to Mary and Martha, and he hears Jesus say to them, well, where have you laid him? And well, he's up in the tomb, and Jesus, he'd been dead for 4 days. He stinketh, one translation says. Can you imagine what his disciples are thinking at that moment? They're thinking, Jesus, this is a little too much. Don't play with their emotions. He's been dead for 4 days. What are you doing, Jesus? Why are you going to the tomb? What in the world do you think you're going to say there? Can you imagine these fishermen, these disciples? They had been with Jesus. So Jesus calls out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Imagine, I don't know how long it took before there was noise inside the tomb sealed with a stone. I don't know what, but can you imagine what those disciples felt and saw as this dead man for 4 days comes out of the tomb? Fishermen, average, ordinary people. Wow. And then on Easter Sunday morning, a woman comes running to Peter and to the disciples, banging on the door, let me in, let me in. I got to tell you, he's alive. Imagine what was going through these ordinary fisherman type people, and as they heard and they saw and they wondered, what in the world? He's dead. We saw him die. We thought there was more. We thought he had a plan. We thought he had control over everything, but he's dead. He allowed them to kill him on the cross, and their confusion, these ordinary fishermen, but they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. What changed the ordinary fishermen into incredible witnesses? They were changed by the resurrection of Jesus. They were changed by the power of seeing Jesus come to life again. The resurrection of Jesus is an incredible, most amazing, miraculous event that has ever happened in the history of the world. I remember there was one disciple that wasn't there when Jesus appeared the first time. His name was Thomas. Thomas said, I can't believe it. I've been with him 3 years. I've seen all these, but I can't believe. He said, I can't believe this unless I see the nail marks in his hands and I see the scars. And you know, Jesus came to him and he showed him his hands. He showed him his side. And he said, Thomas, it's true. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas fell down before Jesus. At least that's one way to imagine. I'm not sure his posture, but whatever it was in his humility, Thomas fell down before Jesus, said, oh, my Lord and my God. Thomas became a believer. You know, what happened to those apostles, those disciples? boy, these fishermen, these normal, early, everyday, average people changed by the resurrection. Boy, they lived it from here on. They gave the rest of their lives to tell the story. When you just think about the spread of Christianity, how did these blue-collar fishermen, how did these people, why did Christianity spread so much? You have to think about a little bit what was going on in the lives of the early witnesses to understand the power of the resurrection. They were convinced it was true. They knew it was true, and they traveled everywhere telling people about the resurrection of Jesus. These apostles were so changed by the reality of the miracle of the resurrection of Jesus that they would risk their lives. They would be beaten. They would do anything in order to tell the story. They endured hardship. They were arrested. They were beaten. And yet they would not stop telling the story of Jesus' resurrection. How did Christianity spread so quickly? And there are many factors, but one of them is the amazing reality of the resurrection and how it meant to the apostles. They would do anything because it was real in their hearts and their lives. What you believe about the resurrection is important. I kind of wish I could have been there on that first, well, we all do, I'm sure, and to be there and to behold what it must have been like. But here we do have the witnesses to look at in their lives. They were convinced. They gave all. We know that they spent the rest of their lives traveling all over the known world preaching the gospel, every direction. Thomas, we're told, went to India. We know Peter was in Rome. We know John was in Ephesus. And some from church history, we know where most of the apostles went. But all of them went and they preached and they told people and they endured all kinds of hardship. Why would you do that if it wasn't true? The amazing witnesses. They had been with Jesus. They were changed by the resurrection. Jesus showed them exactly what they needed. What you believe about Jesus on Easter and every day of your life is so important. What you believe about the resurrection of Jesus is so important. It's just as important as it was for Thomas. You know that Jesus used the word believe or faith many, many, many times in the days that he had on the earth in the 3 years. You know, in the Gospel of John, over 75 times, Jesus uses the word belief or faith in the Gospel of John. It's absolutely important what you believe. It's important that you believe. Jesus said many things about believing in him. He who believeth in me hath everlasting life. In John chapter 11, in this story that I referenced a few minutes ago about Lazarus and raising from the dead, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. You know, Jesus was saying to Mary and Martha and to us that you must believe that I am the resurrection and the life. If you are going to know the love of God and the power of God in your life, you've got to understand the miracle of the resurrection. The early disciples understood it. Then Jesus asked the question, do you believe this? That's the question for all of us on Easter. I know it's so great to have us all come together for Easter and dress up and have such a good time with each other and our families and a beautiful time. But I think the most important question you could ask is, what do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe the things that God wants you to? Belief and faith is always a choice. This is Jesus asking you, do you believe this? That's who Jesus is. That's what the Christian faith is, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Paul talked about that, how the resurrection was the very core of everything he did and everything he preached and everywhere he went. This great missionary apostle Paul said it all comes back to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Let me give you three reasons this morning why your faith decision about the resurrection of Jesus is so important. The first one is this, very simply, you cannot please God without resurrection faith. You cannot please God without resurrection faith. You cannot be pleasing to God without faith. Unless you make the choice to believe that Jesus is who he declared himself to be, you cannot be right with God. You cannot please God. Hebrews chapter 11, for me, this is one of the most important verses in the Bible personally, and I think in my life is this verse, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. There is no substitute
for faith. There is no substitute for the choice to believe that Jesus is who he said he is. I think of that, I say that often of two things about my faith and about the Christian faith. One is there is no substitute for faith. And the other side of that to me, and they're related, is there's no substitute for humility. Between the two of those things, you can't be right with God unless you have a humble spirit and you choose to believe that God is who he says that he is. It is so important that you humble yourself and you make the choice of faith. Nobody can tell me that faith is not a choice. Either you choose to believe that God is who he said he is, or you choose not to believe. If you choose to accept the truth of the resurrection of Jesus and you understand all the things that he's done and why he died on the cross, that should give you what you need for your life to live a godly life and to be connected to the heart of God. It's all right there, the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection. There is no substitute for faith. Without it, you cannot know God. You can't understand his grace. You can't live in a connected living relationship with God without the choice of faith. The choice of your faith is so important. A second reason that your faith is so important and necessary is it is by faith that you receive the salvation of God. We're told in several different places and times, how do you get right with God? How does a mortal man reconcile with an infinite eternal God? How can this spirit God connect to these earthlings, these things made of dust? And how can that be? Well, God tells us how. We can't do it by being good enough. We can't do it by doing more good things than we did bad things. We can't earn our way to it. We cannot make up for our sin. We can't change ourselves enough to make up for sin against a holy God. There's only one way that you can receive salvation from God, and that's by faith. By believing that Jesus is who he said he is. That's the only way you can be right with God. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith." It's not an act of work. You can't do it. It's only by receiving. It's only by accepting that Jesus is who he says he is and putting your trust in him. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, that tells us that faith is a choice. Believing is a choice. God wants you to give your mind and your heart to him. God wants you to acknowledge him with your tongue, with your life, with your faith. Faith is a choice, just like Thomas made. Thomas was in that time of doubting, that time of decision, that time of can it be true? Is it true? And to a degree, all of us are in that place at a time in our lives, or more than a time in our lives, when we're weighing what we've heard about Jesus. Maybe you might say it's a lot easier for Thomas because he was there and he could put his finger into the scars of Jesus. That does seem true to me. But I want you to know that same Jesus, that same Holy Spirit today is working in your heart and your life to draw you to him. So that the story of Easter is not just a nice story to remember once a year, but it can be a foundation of who you are and what you believe. And that God wants to be connected to your life. When Jesus showed Thomas his hands and his side, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. Thomas just fell before him in faith. "Yes, Jesus, I believe you. I believe you raised from the dead." And each of us can make that decision too. Right here in 2014. What is your faith decision? You're here this morning on Easter, and I'm so thrilled you are, and I hope that you've made that decision. But maybe you might be here today and you've not really made that decision yet in your life. I want to call you today to the privilege and opportunity to say, "Jesus, yes, I bow before you. I confess you. I turn away from my sins and I give them to you. And I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me and to come into my heart and my life." There's no more powerful force in the whole world than what Jesus did for you on the cross, and he did for me on the cross and in the empty tomb. Let me give you one more reason why believing is so important. We know that faith is the door to eternal life. Faith is the door to eternal life. To me, I think probably the older you get, the more you think about it. The older you get, the more people are gone in your life that are important to you and special to you. And to me, faith brings me great comfort. It gives me great hope in knowing that God will do what He said He would do. See, I believe that Jesus will do exactly what He said He would do. Same Jesus that came out of the tomb with all the power that took place on that first Easter is the same Jesus that said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and take you to be with me always. I want you to know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is able to raise you and I when we cross into the next life too. Someday we're going to take that last and final breath. I believe Jesus said here, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come back to take you to be with me. I think based on that verse is kind of how I imagine what death must be in this life. I just think of it like this, and I'm not sure. I know it's quite speculative, a lot of things, but I just kind of think of it like this. For a Christian, when you take your last breath, Jesus is right there with His hand, and He says, okay, it's time to go. Kind of like they do on Touched by an Angel. I don't know if it's like that or not, but somehow Jesus is right there. He already knows the decision we made somehow in God's infinite judgment. And He knows about that, and there's going to be judgment later. I'm not sure how that, but somehow I just believe there's Jesus. I will come back and take you to be with me. That's great comfort for us. It's also great comfort in the body of Christ. I think back over the last year, I started to make a list, and I thought, well, I won't do that. But I started to make a list of people from our church family that I know and remember that have passed away in the last year or 2 years, and starting to make a list, and there are a lot of special people on that list. Some of you know some of those people. You have people in your family. You have people maybe from your circle of influence. I want you to know that the resurrection that Jesus had on Easter morning is the same resurrection He promises to His people who turn to Him in faith. There are so many reasons why your faith is important. Believing that Jesus will do what He said He would do is a great promise, and we have great hope in Him. The resurrection of Jesus is a great reason to celebrate. It's a great reason to give thanks. It's a great reason to look forward. I think of, in closing this morning, the scripture that comes to my mind is this one. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God hath prepared for those that love Him. There's a great promise and a great hope if you have faith in Jesus. I encourage you today to choose the path of faith in your heart and life for an amazing God. That's what those disciples did, and boy, they changed the world with their witness. Would you stand as we pray together?